Good morning. My name is Don. I'm one of your pastors here at Legacy, and it is my privilege to bring this message to you this morning. It's All Saints Sunday, and we're going to kick off a new series this morning as we look at the lives of real people in history. Some you've probably heard of, but some you probably haven't. There's nothing more interesting and intriguing than people. Even in this very digital age, we walk through a checkout line, and what do we see? Magazine covers with headlines of interesting things or gossipy things that are going on in people's lives and all over the U.S. and all over the world. And we can't help but stop and read the headlines of what's going on. Right? Or is that just me? You're in church, no fibbing. Why? Because people are fascinating. And gossip is interesting to us. Gossip is mean at times, yes. Is a sin, yes, no doubt about it. But gossip is interesting to us because people are interesting to us. We care about them. Kathleen Norris, the author of Dakota, a spiritual biography, reflected when she moved back to a small town in North Dakota. She said that gossip done well can be a holy thing. It strengthens the communal bond. So as we explore stories worth telling, seeing where people's lives intersect with Scripture, our hope and prayer is that it will inspire and encourage and challenge us to live a life that draws us all closer to God. This morning, we're going to look at Teresa of Avila. Now, Teresa was born in 1515 in Avila, Spain. Her mother died when she was 13 years old, and her father placed her in a boarding school run by Augustinian nuns. And she found herself at a young age drawn to a religious vocation. So she committed herself to the religious life, and she entered a monastery to become a nun. Now, her father didn't approve very much of this decision. What did he think was going to happen? In 1515, and that, or around in the 1500s, what was your choice? You either became a nun or you rebelled, I think. There wasn't a whole lot. You didn't have the internet to scare you away to other options. Now, throughout Teresa's life, even before she entered the order, she's very passionate in her search for God. She wrote three books, and in one of her books on her life, she wrote, "The soul is not satisfied with anything less than God." Now, Teresa was called a very irregular saint. She was very quick-witted. She probably had a smart mouth to a point. Maybe this is why I enjoyed reading about her so much. A kindred spirit. But she was also known to have a very soft heart. She envied those who wept while they prayed because she never experienced that for herself. And no one would have imagined that later that Teresa would be known to have experienced hearing spoken words from God. She would talk to God and she would hear audibly God speak back to her. Now, Psalm 5 is where we're going to get our main text from today. I'm not going to read all of that from you. I'm just going to grab bits and pieces out of that, but you'll want to write that down and go back and read that later. So Psalm 5, starting with verse 1. "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray." Now, Teresa was very human. and she never claimed to be anything other than what she was. We will dig into her life in a little bit. But her human nature followed that of many Christians who had gone on before her. David was also a very strong lover of God, but showed his humanness as he wrote the Psalms, much like this one, Psalm 5. Now, Teresa didn't take herself very seriously. She was very candid. She was known for that, for her candor. It is said that she was very candid even when she spoke to God, much like the writers of the Psalms. But she did it with a twinkle in her eye, it is said. She was very direct with God, and one time when the burdens of her work were more than she could handle, when she complained, God answered that this is the way he treated his friends. To which Teresa replied, "No wonder you have so few friends when you treat them this badly." And another time she confessed that she was in the verge of complaining when she advised God to either stop ordering her to take on so many projects or help her to get them done. She didn't forget how attractive she was in her youth when she was younger. That first picture we saw of her, she was very, very attractive, and this compelled her in her advanced years, long after her natural beauty had diminished. When she sat down to have a portrait painted in 1576, at the age of 61, she reportedly told the artist, "God forgive you, Fray Juan. You've made me into a burly-eyed old hag." But it is said that Teresa's greatest struggle was being patient with those of lesser commitment. She had a hard time with people who were lukewarm in their faith. And throughout her life, she sought for confessors who could lead her to a closer walk with God. And unfortunately, few priests had a faith as advanced enough to give Teresa a challenge and to challenge her in what she was looking for. Now, when Teresa talked to God and prayed, she did that expectantly. She believed that in Christianity, to pray for what you wanted and wait. But you didn't do that. You didn't wait by just sitting on your hands. As we return to our psalm in verse 3, it says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly." A time of expecting can be very exciting. We are excited when we anticipate a holiday or a present or a new job or a phone call. But when we talk to God, how often do we wait for his response expectantly? Psalm 5 speaks of a life and an existence of a child of God under the care of an authority of the Lord. It's in that expectation of a child to a father. "Listen to my words, Lord. Hear my cry, my King, my God. To you I pray in the morning, Lord. You hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you. And wait expectantly." I know I say my prayers and I cry, but do I wait expectantly? Now, it's not that God only hears prayers in the morning. It is simply an expression of David looking forward to God's involvement in his life. It was David laying out his agenda for that day before the Lord. It was David who woke, and he saw the beauty of that morning, saw the sunrise coming forward, and laid out any potential problems he may have for that day. It was probably during this time that you could read in 1 Samuel 18. It was this problem that he was having with Saul when the Spirit of the Lord was withdrawn from Saul. And Saul was taking it out on David. But David was the one that Samuel had chosen above all his brothers and anointed him. Yet all we have seen so far from this anointing was that he took care of Goliath and that he had angered Saul. And there was so much more to this anointment than just this quick battle. But expectation can be exciting, but waiting can be very frustrating. We need to be looking for where God is at work in our lives. But we're always in a hurry, always waiting for those events to happen instantly. Here in the Psalms, the emphasis seems to not be so much on the waiting and the impatience, but on David's total dependence on God. I wait in expectation. His emphasis is not so much on time as so much as it is on the person he was waiting for. His God, the one that he had this total and absolute dependence upon. Now, throughout Scripture, we see this emphasis is not on the answering and the timetable laid out before us. The timetable is put on one side, and faith rising up to the surface in our personal belief in the God on the other side. This God who is able to do all things. If we knew when everything would happen and how long it would take in our prayers for those prayers to be answered, we probably wouldn't ask and pray at all. How daunting would it have been for Noah if he'd have realized that it would have been 120 years for the ark to be finished? Our certainty needs to rest in the assurance that we know he knows us, loves us, and cares for us. Have confidence in him to know that our God is totally and absolutely dependable. Isaiah 64:4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Back to our psalm. 5:11 and 12. Yet all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Now, Teresa's life was not an easy one. But she found a way to rejoice in spite of her suffering. See, she had to deal with a lot of physical issues throughout her life. One time when her face hurt, her throat hurt, and she had a very severe pain in her side, she wrote a trusted friend and said, "Any one of these ailments would have been enough to kill me if God had been pleased to desire it. But apparently, he is not about to do me a favor." Another time when she was very ill and she was being treated with alternative medicines, she went into this catatonic state. And the nuns around her just believed she was going to die, so they prepared her for burial. They put a burial shroud around her and wrapped her, and they sealed her eyes with wax. Yeah. Be careful who your friends are. And after 4 days, she suddenly woke up. And the first thing she asked for was the opportunity for confession. Now, no one knows what caused her to be so sick, but she was unable to move for 8 months. And it took her 3 years before she could crawl. We can allow our suffering to either draw us closer to God or push us away. Teresa could have said, "Enough was enough, and I'm just going to lay here in bed." She could have let everybody around her just take care of her until she finally died. And I don't even have time to tell you that after this time in her life, she fell down a flight of stairs, and she broke a leg, and she broke her arm, and the doctors messed up her arm so bad that for the rest of her life, she was unable to use it. But that never stopped her from pushing forward and continuing to do all the things she did before then. Quitters aren't much of an inspiration. But people who stay with a commitment, even though going through a tough time, are a great source of inspiration for us all. In Matthew 8, there's a story, and I'm sure many of you know this story, but it's about a man who came to Jesus and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus told him, "Before you make this kind of commitment, you need to realize that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus is telling him that if you follow me, you need to realize there's going to be many difficulties. He said there's going to be times when you don't know where you're going to sleep. There's going to be times when you're not going to have any food to eat. You're not going to know where that meal comes from. There will be difficulties. There will be discouragement. But after you realize that, you need to put your hands to the plow and you need to move forward and not look back. Andy mentioned Hebrews 12 earlier, and I want to read that to you this morning. Hebrews 12, 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him to endure the cross, scorn its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You know, the Apostle Paul often compared our Christian life to athletic events. And they are never compared to a quick race. They're never compared to a sprint. They're always compared to, to marathons. Because sprints are quick races. Speed is a necessity in a sprint. But for a marathon, you need endurance. The concern is that over the long haul, you need to keep going. You cannot grow weary. You cannot lose heart when you push forward. In the 1992 Summer Olympics, there were two tremendous heart-rending events that took place there. There was an American sprinter, Gail Devers, I think her name is pronounced. She was the clear leader in the 100-meter hurdles, and she tripped over the last barrier and fell to the ground. And she was able to pull herself up to her knees, and she crawled across the finish line, finishing fifth. She refused to give up. She refused to lay on the track and not finish the race. And an even more emotional finish, and I'm sure many of you have probably seen this clip. It's been played many, many times for different sports things. It was the 400-meter semifinals, and British runner Derek Redmond tore his hamstring and fell to the track. And he struggled to his feet and began to hobble because he was determined he was going to cross the finish line. And his father came running down from the stands and tried to help his son off the track, but his son would not leave the track because he was going to finish the race. And so his father was there with him as his son leaned on him to finish the race. The Apostle Paul remained faithful, and in his last letter to Timothy, he wrote, "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Don't be deceived by false timetables. Wait expectantly for our God. Live out the promise and be assured that he will return, and he is in our lives, and he will move in our lives. Isaiah 8, "I will wait for the Lord. I will put my trust in him." Two great witnesses I share with you this morning, David and Teresa of Avila. To wait expectantly on God's faithfulness in good times and in suffering, in all times. Seek righteousness and work for God and in God's works. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be the people who pray to you and who wait expectantly, Lord. Never losing sight of who you are and who we are in you. May we know that no struggle is too big because you are with us. Help us to know, Lord, that there is no task that stands before us, that you are not standing by our side because you have promised to never leave or forsake. Help us to stay strong, Lord. Not to put our faith in a timetable set by us or by man, by anybody else, but to put our faith completely in you. We ask these things in your precious and your holy name. Amen.